You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Wouldn't it be great if Jeff Bezos got into a bidding war for an NFL team and he loses to his ex-wife, who does it just to spite him?
That'd be great.
I think that's the plot to Ted Lasso.
I also don't think that particular club of people would select his wife over Jeff Bezos. I don't think that they would allow it.
Well, Jeff, I know you're part Latino here, but we got some demos we need to address.
I do love the idea of a bidding war between Bezos and his wife for an NFL, for a single NFL team. Greg, we were talking yesterday about car chases in the movies, and you are a terrible discusser of movies over the course of history, but a lot of people over the course of the evening were sending us Mad Max Fury Road as a car chase. I suppose that would qualify. I guess Baby Driver would qualify as well, because people were making fun of me about the fact that I was going with Ronin, a movie from 20 years ago, as one of the best car chase scenes. You've seen Bullet. Some people went earlier than me. Can you put all of those on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show? Best car chase scene in a movie. Go Mad Max Fury Road, go Bullet, go Ronin, go Gone in 60 Seconds, go Baby Driver, go Bourne Identity, and if you've got something else, go Other as well.
I think people would have been fine if you just went 20 years ago to 2001. You went to 1987, my friend.
Ronin is 1987?
I believe so.
I don't think it's that
long
ago. It is
not 1987.
No, it's early 90s. Roy.
I don't believe there it might is be early 90s.
It might be 1997.
There might be a foreign language film named Ronin from the 80s, but yeah, De Niro's Ronin was in the mid-90s.
Is that a fine? I think it's 2000s. I think that's a fine for Stugatz reading the internet wrong if you are doing Ronin from the 80s. I believe what is that fine for you? Do we know?
I believe it's 5 cents.
I wasn't asking you.
For reading the internet wrong, it's a $5 major.
A $5 major.
Really?
Wow. On the wrong.
Really? Well, can we find out if I'm wrong first? I mean,
1998. You are wrong.
I mean, listen, that's 20 years ago.
Dan can get some too, though, for correcting me.
Split you halfway.
What am I getting?
He said early 2000s on Ronin.
Okay, so 1998. I'm sorry. That feels like 20 years. That feels close enough. You know what? I just saw you pull out money.
I'm tired of leaving this year, and then I get no change. I mean,
you only have a 50? That's all you have today.
Yes, that's all I have.
Just don't invest in the stock market, kids. Just avoid it entirely. It is bad. Stugatz, do not look. Do not look.
Bloodbath?
Oh, my God.
Really?
It's the worst. I've been doing this for quite a long time, as you know, for a month or so. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
What is happening right now?
Blood everywhere.
The bears
blood.
Are out.
Blood everywhere. I have like about approximately.
Bears are out.
Dude, I have like 35 stocks in my portfolio. I am deep red on all but one.
Wow.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
Bad portfolio.
It just started.
It's really bad.
Greg, what do you know about investments? I'm actually interested in this conversation with
nothing.
Greg Cody. Well, no, this is, I want to continue a conversation we were having last week. Greg, how many shoes do you actually own? I want an answer, a correct answer to this. Your son was theorizing that you own 3 pairs of shoes total and that you own that one stinky pair of boat shoes for 30 years.
Is a straight red line going down bad?
I own 3 pair of shoes. 2 I wear constantly. The third pair is a pair of sneakers, so I only wear that when I'm like riding a bike or pretending to do exercise. But my deck shoes, my boat shoes, and my dress shoes, my battered dress shoes, are integral to my being. I couldn't live without them. So, yeah, 3 pair is the correct answer. 2 pair worn regularly is the sub answer.
How bad do your boat shoes smell?
You know, I don't think they smell bad at all, but... you know, I don't know how to answer that question.
I just like pictured. I know the smell, and I just imagined it.
Ugh. How old are those shoes? The boat shoes that you have, and I'd like for you to tweet out a photograph of those shoes at some point. How old are those shoes?
I tend to buy a new pair of shoes about once every 10 years. but here's the caveat. If boat shoes get wet, even though it's ironic, really, because they're called boat shoes.
Doesn't
but if
stop
they get
them.
Wet,
it doesn't stop
if
them.
If they
he
get
keeps
wet, they're terrible. They're terrible if they get wet. You can't get rid of that fungusy odor.
God.
Yeah, so it's...
Chris, can we bother your mom at work just to get an honest assessment about, A, how old those shoes are, and B, just a description of those shoes from your mother, please?
You're thinking it's not 10 years ago?
I think it's probably more than 10 years. But getting to the original question, investment. You and investment. If I were to look through your portfolio, what would that look like? You don't have an investment advisor, correct? Or does your wife handle all of that stuff? Do you know how anything works in finance outside of an ATM?
We do have an investment advisor. I think he refers to himself augustly as a wealth manager. But my wife deals with all that. Look, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't deal with anything. I don't pay our bills. I don't deal with our investor. I know we have a very diversified portfolio, and I don't even know what that phrase means. I don't know whether we're taking a bath right now because of the stock market or whether we're doing well. I have zero idea. I know we sat down with our guy a couple of years ago for like 6 hours, and he told us everything about our financial situation, but I don't know anything. My wife does all that.
Greg, outside of cooking and writing, I want a list here. In what ways are you able to prove to us that you're not a 65-year-old toddler?
What the hell does that mean? What do you mean?
Outside of writing and your ability to cook things for yourself, to feed yourself, what can you do to prove to an audience? Let's say the audience is arriving today and needs proof that you're not a 65-year-old toddler. What would you put in front of them as proof of things you could do to prove that you're not a 65-year-old toddler?
Okay, I'm still not sure what you mean by the phrase 65-year-old toddler.
65-year-old baby, Greg.
I have a successful podcast.
Jeez.
I have an artistic podcast.
Who's on this week?
Kept
I
asking.
Green song. I don't know what you want.
I have a successful podcast. Please tell me more. I heard it's going to be on satellite radio now.
Yeah, the Greg Cody Show podcast is going to be available on SiriusXM beginning Monday, March 8th. Very proud of that. And it's done very well. So I'm proud of that because that's just in the past year that we've started that. I'm very good outdoors. I have a green thumb. I have an artistic side, which I can show evidence of. And, you know, I'm a varied man. I'm a renaissance man. You all know that. I mean, you know, just because I don't involve myself in our finances, that's minutia to me. You know, that's minutia to me. I have no money in my wallet. I don't even know where my wallet is. My wife handles all that. She's great. God love her. I don't know what I would do without her. I mean, because she just does all the work that I don't want to do, such as opening the mail and dealing with bills and all that crap.
Is it true that when you're at a restaurant with your wife, while looking at a menu, you will say to her, honey, what do I like here?
I have been known to say that only because...
I like you asking as if you don't know.
Yes, only because she memorizes... She's a very smart woman. She memorizes menus. I don't know what I ordered the last time I was in that restaurant. She probably remembers. So she'll tell me, you had the ribeye last time, and you thought it was overcooked because they tried to sell you on, hey, it's made with coffee grinds or something, and you tried it, and it was terrible. So I'm like, thank you for that. I will not go there again, and then I'll order something else. She reminded me the other day that I like fried lasagna, which I didn't remember having liked that. Yeah. You know, my memory isn't what it used to be, you know.
Anyway, so wait, just to be clear, though, the way that you're proving that you're not a 65-year-old toddler is that your wife reminded you the other day that you like fried lasagna.
Right, because it seems like an unnatural food, and we saw it on the menu, and she's like, don't you remember we had that about 6 years ago when we were in Rome or something like that?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
It's her job to remember these things.
Put it on the poll. Wouldn't you remember liking fried lasagna? Yes or no?
I don't think you would.
Greg's defense, toddlers don't have wives.
Yes, that's fair.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, he loves it. It is the thing that makes me most want to throw Guillermo into the sea. Something that starts in someone else's defense. I don't know how you defend. It's unforgivable.
Fair and balanced.
It's
over
unforgivable
here.
To defend the forgetting of liking fried lasagna. It's not.
No, it isn't. Thank you, Billy.
Do toddlers have wives?
No, you're right. You're right. You really checkmated me in his defense.
Congratulations, Greg, on your show being simulcast on SiriusXM. That is a pretty big deal. I do find it funny that during our free agency, four of the squares in this Zoom have shows on SiriusXM, none of them Dan and Stu.
It is fairly amazing.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
We will get to funniest thing from the sports weekend in a second, a day late in true Lebatard show fashion. We will not have a back in my day today in true Greg Cody fashion. We will, however, get to a couple of sounds here before funniest thing that I wanted to talk about. One of them, Stugatz, involves Deion Sanders. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I still remain confused as to what happened here, whether his stuff was stolen and then returned or just misplaced. We'll get to that in just a second. But before we do so, did you see the back and forth? Did you, Greg Cody, and did you, Stugatz, see Naomi Osaka after she knocks out Serena Williams? And that might be the end of Serena Williams. No shame in that. She has lasted into her late 30s as a dominant force. And when I say the end of Serena Williams, I don't imagine she's got much use for chasing Osaka around through the last of her 30s.
Don't do it. I care about you. She's chasing majors. She's chasing Margaret Court, I believe. She's chasing history. She's chasing being regarded as the best ever.
So. I don't mean to dismiss her. She just, you know, athletes age in their late 30s, and it's really hard in that sport. I've seen the men actually are doing stuff in their late 30s, so maybe I don't mean to doubt Serena Williams, but that was one of the stories of the weekend when Osaka took her out again, the idea that the torch might have been passed. That's fine. If you don't want to doubt her, I do not blame you. But the part I wanted to talk to you about is, did you and Greg see what happened in her speech afterward as she was talking about Jennifer Brady? Do you guys know the mistake that she made, or you don't know the mistake that she made?
I do not know the mistake that
Greg,
she made.
Greg, do you know the mistake she made?
Yes,
yes or no? Okay, let's play that sound for the audience so the audience can hear it.
Firstly, I want to do you like to be called Jenny or Jennifer?
Jenny.
Okay. Firstly, I want to congratulate Jennifer.
You saw what happened there, right?
Well, I heard it.
You heard what happened there. What happened?
I don't know.
I thought so. I knew I had him cornered. You'd play for him again. See if he, because he laughed, but
Jen
I didn't.
Or Jenny.
Let's play it again.
Firstly, I want to, do you like to be called Jenny or Jennifer?
Jenny.
Okay. Firstly, I want to congrat Jennifer.
Did she say Jimmy?
Okay, let's play it one more time for Stugatz to see if he understands the insult here.
Firstly, I want to, do you like to be called Jenny or Jennifer?
Jenny.
Okay. Firstly, I want to congrat Jennifer.
So what ended up happening there, Stugatz, and I understand that the edit is kind of quirky, is that asked her whether she prefers Jennifer or Jenny. Jenny said she prefers Jenny, and then Naomi Osaka congratulated Jennifer. So people took it as a disrespect to ask her what she wanted to be called and then ignore her and call her what she wanted to call her. But Osaka wrote on Twitter, OMG, no, I promise you my mind thought I called her Jenny in that moment and I was so confused why the crowd was laughing. I'm so sorry. Is Chris Cody willing to allege something sinister there? Are you willing to believe that Naomi Osaka decided to reverse troll our Jenny Brady?
I want it to be true, and I was kind of thinking of having that take and putting that on her, but she sounds so delightful and so nice that I just can't believe it.
Well, I'm so sorry on Twitter sort of punctures that. The apology is a little too strong to think it's trolling.
That in her history. I think she felt badly beating Serena Williams in a final one time. Remember that, Mike? She was like crying because she prevented Serena from winning and tying the Grand Slam
and
record.
Idolized Serena Williams. Yes. Well, if you don't know what's true there, or if that makes it too obvious what is true, let's see. Are you okay, Greg? Is everything all right?
Yeah, we're good. Thanks.
I had to look into the Zoom to make sure he was okay. That sounded scary. You all right?
No, we're good. Okay. Yeah.
You sure? Just like in a general sense? You good? Okay.
Greg, you good?
I'm good. You good?
My dad is that guy, though, that on his deathbed, he'll be telling me that he's fine.
Yeah.
Like, he just is always... He doesn't like to give in and doesn't like to show any weakness. I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, oh, that noise that you just heard, that was my neck snapping. I'm fine.
Let's play the sound.
Jesus, Greg. I believe it.
Just play the show killer sound for me, please. Just find the show killer.
It's show killer. Show killer.
Osaka just sounded nervous to me, Dan. Yeah.
That's I'm with you. There's nothing
just got
there.
Caught up.
Yes. Yeah, so let's move on to whether or not this is true. What Deion Sanders alleged here after the first Jackson State victory of his coaching career.
God bless you. Appreciate you and everything. I'm pissed off right now. Because I have mixed emotions. We won. The kids played really well. While the game was going on, somebody came in and stole every darn thing I had in my locker room, in the coach's office. Oh, yeah. Credit cards, wallet, watches. Thank God I had all my necklaces. How? When I talk about equality and raising the standards, and that goes for everyone, man. Not just the people on the field. Not just the coaches, not just the teachers, not just the faculty, but that's everybody, security and everybody. So how do you think it feel coming back after just teary-eyed because the guys have presented me with the game ball, one of the best moments I've ever had in my professional sports career emotionally. And then you go into your locker room, your coach's office to digress, and you notice and you don't even have a phone to call your mama, to call your girl, to call your your kids because it's been stolen. You don't even have the Scully hats that you wore here. We're going to find out who did it.
So what happened? When someone explained to me, is that a stolen group of items that were then returned after he smoked the people out? Or did he make a false accusation because things had simply been moved and he thought they were stolen?
He said that there was a witness. They found the person who stole the stuff. He got his stuff back, and there was a person on his staff who witnessed all of this going down. So,
I've read two conflicting reports about what happened, so it's difficult to talk about because I don't know whether he was actually ripped off or whether it was a misunderstanding, because I also read that his items were misplaced. They were moved to a more secure area, which he didn't realize at the time. So he thought they'd been stolen, but ultimately they weren't. That's what I read. And the only reason I was laughing when I was listening to him is that I think most coach, he just won a game 53-0. I think most coaches in that situation would not have made a spectacle of the fact that they had been burglarized during the game. I thought it was unusual that he brought that up in his post-game news conference. I think if that happened to an NFL coach, he doesn't say that in his post-game news conference. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just thought it was odd that Deion went there to the media rather than just kept it a private matter.
I think most coaches don't have the valuables that Deion has in his bag, you know?
Well, at least he was wearing his chains. So.
Now, I imagine it's scary if you're actually committing the act of stealing. You're breaking into the office, you're looking over your shoulder, making sure nobody's around. But imagine trying to return the stuff after you've realized that he knows it's been stolen. That's even scarier, because now he's like on to you, probably sitting in his office. So that must have been scary all around for the person that did it.
You think they did that thing where they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn off the lights, and if you have the missing things, just put it on the table, and then there's no questions, and there'll be no consequences for anyone. Has that ever worked? Probably not, right? Like, every time I've ever been in a situation like that, one, I'm like, how did I end up here? I definitely don't have this thing. And also, the lights go off, and then the lights come on, and nothing has appeared. Has that ever worked?
Well, Deion's maintaining, all right, this is from Twitter, quote, whomever is putting out the lie that my belongings weren't stolen is lying. A staff member walked in on the theft being committed, but she couldn't fight a dude off. I didn't think it was strange that Deion didn't keep that private. In fact, if Deion gets his stuff stolen, I am going to imagine that Deion is going to get his stuff back. But he did sort of take whatever shine was on his football team and his coaching debut, just like it was stolen from him that moment and being able to share it by phone with his kids and his family. He ended up stealing the entirety of that moment for the people involved in the 53-0 victory, because nobody was talking about that. They were just talking about the idea of, really, somebody stole Deion's stuff. And Deion is, he's doubling down on, my stuff was stolen, man. This was not misplaced.
His only sentence about the game was, for one, the kids played really well. Then right into everything was stolen
from
me.
Well, he said a moment was stolen from him, though, because it was a highlight for him of his career. He's saying professionally, that dude has had a great many professional highlights. He's saying emotionally, that moment was stolen from him.
Did you see the initial comments in the press conference? Because he said when he decided to come to that school, he was going to elevate the program. And that means everybody, from the kids to the coaches to the janitors to the security guards. Like, he was just going down a list of suspects for who stole it. The whole criticism of hiring Deion Sanders was, that has potential to be a circus. And then blasts the competition in the first game. It's amazing. And he's his own enemy in terms of optics, because it all becomes about a caper around his jewelry.
But it is a caper. He's saying.
But is it?
He is saying, he is insisting that this is not an innocent mistake, that his stuff was stolen and his stuff is valuable.
Could it be that someone was securing the stuff for him, looking after it for him? He forgot about it. He's getting old. It happens.
The end of it was that the stuff was returned, but there's still this whole mystery surrounding this poor woman that had to fight off an assailant that apparently just got away with stealing and returning. That's the part of the story that I think we're just bypassing.
Like, why would you return it? He got away. He stole it. That lady wasn't able to stop him. And an hour later, he's just like, I see this press conference. Now I feel bad. Like, what?
It's like the most badass criminal of all time. I'm just stealing it to show you I can prime.
Why are they still playing now? Like, are they going to play again in the fall?
I really don't understand why there are football games in February, but I'm more interested in discussing whether this was a caper or a heist.
The Southwest Athletic Conference. Hey, see, why is college football going on the SWAC? I mean,
put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is the Deion Sanders situation a caper or a heist? I want to get to the answers here. I do think it's a funny thing. All of a sudden now, what you're associated, Deion Sanders is going to Jackson State. He is coaching at Jackson State. They have won his first game. And I am led to believe that Jackson State has a thieving problem because of what happened with Deion Sanders, because Deion Sanders brought attention to something that sounds like he was a victim on.
You made caper and heist the only two options. Can you make age one of the options?
Well, you think that Deion just misplaced his thing and now is accused of everyone in security and janitor and janitorial is accused everyone at Jackson State for just being old.
This has me curious as to what exactly the hierarchy is of theft. Is the top of the pyramid the heist followed by the caper? If so, what's below that? And is petty theft just the very bottom rung of this ladder?
Where does burglary fit in?
Burglary has got to be a mid-table team in this. Pickpocket, lower tier of the table, about to get relegated.
I always get confused that robber is a word, right? When I see robber in the news, I always think that can't be right. We're like, the robber got away. I'm like, that sounds like a five-year-old describing a situation where a criminal came in and took something.
What's the difference between a robber and a burglar?
One steals hamburgers. I know that.
Did you just put an L in robber as well?
It happens.
I know. It happens to me more than anyone talking about age.
Yeah, I'll start season on ticks. Okay, I got a checklist right now.
No. I just... Wait a minute.
No, we don't want that.
This is a frustrating thing. I don't want it.
Sensitive he's getting.
I don't want it. The thing that...
Just let it slide.
I can't let it slide because the audience won't let it slide.
I said robbler because I followed it up with burglar. So I'm not Jay-Z here, okay? Even he gets in the booth and makes a mistake occasionally, folks.
At least he didn't do it in front of Iron Eagle.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I feel like pillage is pretty high on the hierarchy.
Pillage is the worst.
Pillage is, yeah.
If you've been pillaged, there's nothing worse.
That's not true because the other phrase I associate with pillaged is raped. I'm sorry to bring that to the conversation.
Well, they usually go hand in hand, unfortunately. Yeah. But in 2021, I find it hard to believe someone's calling 911 saying, hello, I'd like to report a pillaging.
I'm being pillaged.
I've been pillaged.
So is pillage the worst? That's the top of a breaking and entering is a little too formal. So what is the hierarchy of thievery then? Let's go ahead and do this since we're here. Let's see what the hierarchy actually is. The very top of the list, we are making pillage. This is the hierarchy. Pillaged is the worst. You can't do worse than pillage, but I guess pillaged is both taking your stuff and violently taking your stuff.
Mm-hmm. It is weird how it goes hand in hand with rape, which is like horrible. But I wonder if there were pirates in the day that is just like, well, I'm just a pillage guy personally.
All I am is I'm sticking straight.
Yeah, guys, not for me. I decided I'm just a pillager.
Yeah, I just pillage.
This is getting out of hand.
I'm putting it in compartments and I'm only willing to go as far as pillaging. That's the highest for me. I'm not doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And
I'll do the scurvy. Well, I'm in on the scurvy. Love myself some scurvy. And pillaging. Love it. But you guys are a little intense with all that other stuff.
I love the idea. I love the idea. I don't know whether that is a woke pirate, but it is a pirate applying some morals to his. This is where I draw the line professionally in terms of what I'm willing
to
do.
Neil the compliance pirate.
Where's pilfering on this list?
Pilfering sounds softer than pillaging.
Yeah, pilfering, pillaging. You've got to work up to pillage. You got to, beta test, hit the pilfering.
No, but I think pilfering is more in the pickpocket realm. Pilfering doesn't involve any violence. It's just sort of like I'm sneaking in, I'm sneaking out, I'm
like
grabbing
shoplifting.
Well, I want to let me backtrack for a second as you guys gather yourself here on the hierarchy to help us, because I want to get back to this whole wallet situation. Are Greg, Cody, and I the only people presently on this show owning a wallet? Because you guys pointed this out to me last week and you were mocking the idea that I have a wallet and that it's fat wallet and it's your granddad's wallet and it's just filled with stuff. But no one informed me that we had moved off of the wallet. No one informed me. I see that Stugatz reaches into his pocket and pulls out a stack of things. I just thought he was sloppy and disorganized.
We've moved off of money. I mean, forget about a wallet.
Well, I have a wallet, but I think people have moved on to money clips and whatnot.
Okay, so money clips. Put it on the poll,
Guillermo. The back of the phone, Dan. A lot of these people, which growing up, I was led to believe, don't put your credit cards near your cell phone because of the waves. It's gonna you can't put your hotel room doesn't work. Oh, why? That's because you had the key next to the cell phone. Genius. Now we're just putting all the cards behind the phone, which seems counterintuitive to me.
I have young people laughing at me that I still go to the ATM. I take out money. I like to carry money. You never know when you're gonna need it, and they're like, "That's what you have your bank card for." Like they're laughing at me.
Does an Apple wallet count as a wallet? Because then I think we're all in the same boat.
Cody, do you own? You must own a wallet. You must own an old-fashioned wallet.
I do. I wallets like shoes are something I buy once every 10 years. I still own a wallet. Not only that, I have photos in my wallet. I have pictures of Christopher when he's 6 years old.
That's old school.
I got to see him.
That's old school.
My
right
wife.
There.
Yes.
I'm just curious. This is not age shaming here. Have you guys ever paid for anything at a checkout with your phone?
I have paid for Starbucks.
Did, and you did it seamlessly. You held it up to the reader.
Off the app, held the bar to the reader. Yeah.
Wow. I'm very proud of you guys, Greg.
I don't know how to do that. No, I've never done it. I've seen people do it, and they always look strange. I always feel like tapping them on the shoulder and saying, "What the hell are you doing? Pull a dollar out of your wallet like a normal human being." Come on.
It is such a funny place to have arrived where Stugatz, I love the idea of Stugatz condescending me, shaming me because I have a wallet and I am stuck in an organizational past that is beneath him.
Can you describe the sensation that you got the first time that you did it? Were you nervous? You're like, oh boy, this is...
trembling.
I'm in the Jetsons right now. What is this? Okay.
Well, which part are you talking about? Just phone at Starbucks? Yeah. No, I don't like it.
The trepidation of just putting your phone to the reader, is your hand shaking a little bit, like, oh God, please, I don't want to stand here for 15 minutes and be the old guy that needs help figuring it out, and then everyone knows my passcode. Is this really going to work? Do I have any money in my phone?
I'm with Dan. I hated the experience. I've never gone back to it.
I'd be scared, honestly, of having my driver's license outside of my wallet. I had something happen to me the other day that I had no idea was possible. Put this on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you have any idea that you could be carded for kombucha? Because I had no idea. I got carded at 50, which is weird to me. So I had to fish through a wallet to find my driver's license.
Do you roll your eyes and do that thing before you take out the license? Like, hey, really? I'm 50.
But I just didn't. Did you know? Is this something?
Were you wearing your mask?
That it has an alcohol. Yes. That it has an alcohol content that kombucha can get you carded.
I didn't know that.
I had no earthly idea that that was possible.
I was going to ask you, is there CBD in the kombucha or something like that? You got carded because you were wearing your mask. Right, had to have been.
I don't know why anyone.
Well, you look younger in the mask.
I don't know why.
Because you're dressed like you're going to go to Vans.
I don't look 18 though.
Have you guys been, Stugatz, Dan? Have you guys figured out the whole sticking of the chip into the credit card machine? Have you guys figured out that technology?
Yes, that's fairly easy for me. Yes,
Greg.
I have, but I was in an Olive Garden a few days ago when I was up in Vero Beach visiting someone, and they had the thing at the table where you can pay at the table, and I started to slide the credit card in the chip thing, but it was a little slot, but it wasn't where it was supposed to go, and it turned out it was around the side, and it was totally confusing. And you know, what is the waiter doing if he's not taking my bill? Why do I have to pay manually at a restaurant? It doesn't make any sense to me. That's part of why I tip the waiter, is for good service, a genial attitude, and the whole transactional thing at the end. So he's should I tip him less now because yes, he's not there to take my check? I mean, how does that work?
And actually, if you go to like European countries, they like bring the card reader to you, and there's that whole thing. Oh. But also, one of the things that we have not explored enough as Americans is the concept of contactless. They make credit cards that act like Apple Pay, and I have them. I'm like the only person I know that uses contactless at those readers. They have like the three little lines, and we have not explored this enough as a people.
Judgy Parisians. When I went in there, the last time I went to Paris, and I had the old school credit card that, oh, I'm sorry, you had to swipe, that didn't have the chip in, they looked at me with such contempt when I was asking them, can you please swipe this? They're like, American, and they blew cigarette smoke in my face.
I'm with Greg on this. Greg, you don't even have to say it, but I know where we're going. The contactless, what's to stop someone from walking by with one of these contactless things and just start, you know, tapping you in the pocket, and all of a sudden you got nothing? Give me cash. Cash is king, right, yeah, Greg?
That's right. That's right, Billy. You're always right.
I have had a recent development that has been hugely frustrating in that I dropped my telephone a while ago and my camera does not work correctly. And I am now having a nightmare when it comes to these restaurants and menus that aren't menus because they don't want to hand you menus and they just want your phone sort of pick up something. Yeah. And so I simply can't do it with the state of my phone. And I'm glad that you're laughing at me, Cody. Do you have some expertise with the phone used on a menu? I want to find the places, Greg, where you are most being left behind. Because if this is happening to me and Stugatz and Roy, it has to be happening to you in a way that you are constantly looking around and being like, good God. So I'm out of the game totally now with my wallet, with my dollars, with my cash. I'm just out of the game.
So in lieu of a back in my day, the entire show is just one giant back in my day.
Yes, Greg. Well, this is the thing, Mike, that reminded me of it, okay? We talk on this week's South Beach Sessions to somebody who was wrongly imprisoned for 37 years. And the story is a crazy one. And that person was supposed to receive, for each year that they were wrongly incarcerated and on death row for some of the years, that person was supposed to receive $50,000 a year for every year they were wrongly incarcerated so that they can make a transition with, you know, almost $2 million. Not justice exactly, because I don't know how many of you would trade 37 years of freedom for $1.8 million, but wasn't able and isn't able to get that money because of a crime committed when he was 17 before the offense he wasn't guilty of, in which some car parts were stolen. And so as a teenager, he is now not entitled to any of that money. And the transition obviously becomes very, very hard with no money. But one of the things that I hadn't considered that he was talking about that I found fascinating was coming out of jail after being in jail for 37 years and just the sheer number of things that have changed, that you simply don't recognize the world you're walking into because you've been away for 37 years. And now you come out of jail into freedom. And why is everyone in their phones? And what are they doing with their phones? And what do you mean that everything in a Miami I don't recognize, a Miami that's totally different from the Miami I used to know or the Florida I used to know, what are all of these people doing with their telephones? I have no access to this. I don't recognize it.
But Tom Brady's still playing quarterback.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. There must be soothing and solace in that.
He's still here.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.